So when my twins, Aiden and Jacob, were little, we read together every single night. And one of the series, and we read a lot of them, but one was The Lord of the Rings, the whole trilogy, which I can't personally think of without remembering the lyrics from the theme to the animated adaptation of Tolkien's book when I was a kid. The greatest adventure is what lies ahead. Today and tomorrow are yet to be said. The chances, the changes are all yours to make. The mold of your life is in your hands to break. According to writer and Christian apologist G.K. Chesterton, I always want to put an S in it, an adventure is, by its nature, a thing that comes to us. It is a thing that chooses us, not a thing that we choose. The Hobbit tells a story of Mr. Bilbo Baggins, a hobbit who was chosen for the greatest adventure he never sought. Now, Bilbo is described as a happy hobbit. He loves food and drink and security, and he relishes living in his snug little hole at Bag End. He is not the adventuring sort at all, and neither are his neighbors. Now, imagine him one morning sitting on his porch with first or maybe second breakfast, smoking his pipe and enjoying a steaming mug of tea. A very ordinary morning, he's enjoyed this hundreds of times. Then Gandalf appears and invites him to join the 13 dwarves on a quest to recover the treasure that's been stolen by the dragon Smaug. Bilbo protests. Adventure is not for him. Yet, almost against his will, as we know, he goes, drawn by courage he did not know he had, into an adventure he seemed destined to experience. One day, four fishermen rise before dawn, cast their nets as they have hundreds of times before. And in the midst of the familiar, Jesus calls, "Follow me." They leave the safety and routine of their lives for something new and unknown. Now for Bilbo, the greatest adventure is beyond imagination. This ordinary hobbit, neither tall, nor strong, nor battle-hardened, finds himself in extraordinary situations where he proves to be courageous and resourceful. And for the disciples, the story is familiar. Jesus seeks ordinary people, fishermen with calloused hands, tired bodies, not scholars, not leaders. Their flaws are evident. Peter will deny him. James and John sit daydreaming about their own thrones. And Andrew often recedes from view. Yet Jesus never withdraws his invitation. Novelist James Baldwin once wrote, "Any real change implies the breakup of the world as one has always known it, the end of safety." The call to adventure and discipleship requires leaving behind old securities. Bag End, the Shire, the boats, the nets, even old Zebedee. New beginnings require faith despite fear. They call us out of our safe spaces and comfort zones into things we know little or perhaps even nothing about. And that brings us to today. There are people in our communities who live with real fear. Immigrant families who don't know if a knock at the door could change everything. LGBTQIA2S+ people and trans people who are told their lives are negotiable. Parents wondering if their children will be safe simply being who they are. And into this world, not a safer one, not a calmer one, Jesus still says, "Follow me." Not follow me into comfort, not follow me into agreement, but follow me into a love that refuses to look away from suffering, a love that stands with the vulnerable, a love that tells the truth about violence, and a love that keeps choosing people over power. This is what the adventure of discipleship looks like now. It looks like refusing to accept that some lives are expendable. It looks like welcoming the stranger, protecting the threatened, and bearing witness to a God whose justice is inseparable from mercy. And here's the hard and holy truth of discipleship. When Jesus says, "Follow me," he doesn't only call individuals into transformation. He calls communities into solidarity. Following Jesus means that when some are forced to live without safety, the rest of us are called to live without indifference. It means risking comfort for the sake of love, risking approval for the sake of justice, risking certainty for the sake of compassion. The greatest adventure of today might not be defeating dragons or crossing mountains or seas, but standing with those whose lives are treated as disposable. It's saying with words and our actions, "You belong, you matter, you are not alone." This might look like staying engaged when it would be easier to give up. Speaking truth when silence would cost us less. Building community when isolation feels safer. Showing up for neighbors whose struggles are invisible to most of the world. Our individual calls to follow Jesus in this great adventure of discipleship still mean new beginnings, again and again. We keep discovering that following Christ means letting go of false safety, so that we may participate in God's new world being born. And this week, a pastor from our own coast answered the call to stand with clergy and community in Minneapolis. Bob wrote, "I was comforted by their honesty, their courage, and their willingness to keep showing up. Being in that kind of community matters. It steadied me. It reminded me that none of us carries this alone. I also found hope, real hope. Not the kind that pretends everything is fine, but the kind that comes from watching people refuse to give up on one another. I saw resilience, people who were tired and still willing to stand, afraid and still willing to speak, sheltering, feeding, and protecting one another in every way imaginable. That kind of hope is contagious. There was even joy in marching together, chanting together, in knowing that love and solidarity are stronger than fear. It was the joy of not being isolated, of remembering we belong to something bigger than ourselves." And then, just hours later, he learned of another fatal shooting, another life lost, another wave of grief, another surge of anger. And then he wrote, "It felt like whiplash, from hope to heartbreak, from joy to rage, from feeling lifted to feeling crushed. I'm sitting here holding all of it at once, and honestly, I'm wondering how I will stand in front of my congregation tomorrow and lead worship in the middle of all of that. I don't have an answer, but I believe we will find a way together to hold grief and hope in the same breath and still refuse to give up on love, on justice, and one another." This is discipleship. Following Jesus is not a retreat into comfort. It's choosing to hold grief and hope together, to speak truth about suffering, work for justice where power harms, and remain people of hope. Christ doesn't call us because we're brave enough. Christ calls us because the world is broken and hurting. Love is still needed. Hope is still possible. And new beginnings are breaking into places we least expect. However strangely, however undeservedly, Christ comes to us. Christ calls us, and Christ sends us. Not to be safe, but to be faithful. Not to be silent, but to be present. Not to be comfortable, but to be part of God's healing presence in the world. The greatest adventure is what lies ahead. Today and tomorrow are yet to be said. The changes, the chances are all yours to make. The mold of your life is in your hands to break. Amen.